Good morning again. Today we begin a new series on connecting to Jesus and the power of hope that we find in this relationship with our God. There really wasn't a day when Jesus walked this earth that he wasn't revealing all who God is to us through his teaching, through the people that he healed. In all that he revealed as he touched people and people touched him. And if we think about it and how he has touched us. You know, we come into this world needing to be reminded of who our Creator God is and who we are. And we need to be reminded again and again about that because the world will try to tell you who you are. Sometimes people will try to tell you who you are, but we need to listen to our God who tells us who we are, because we are the sons and daughters of the Most High God, and we have a shepherd, and we listen to his voice, right? Ultimately, we see what our Creator was willing to do to be connected to us, to be in relationship with us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes will not perish, but have everlasting life. He did not come into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The ultimate of connection. The ultimate of hope. But hope can be elusive, right? We can hope my team wins the NBA. We can hope that I get a raise. Biblical hope is not a hope so, it is a no so. We need to remember that. It isn't wishing for the best. It is not human optimism. That is not hope. That is wishful thinking. And there is no power in that to bring anything to pass. But I tell you, this biblical hope is not a feeling or an emotion. It is the knowledge. It is the holding on to what God has promised. To have the God kind of hope is to have an anchor for the soul, even in our most difficult and confusing moments. So as we listen to this scripture this morning and today's message, I hope we can be encouraged, even come to even a more deeper understanding of how God is calling us to his kind of hope, the God kind of hope. And that is through Christ alone.
I'll be reading from the Common English Bible, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. May the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ be blessed. On account of his vast mercy, he has given us new birth. You have been born anew into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You have a pure and enduring inheritance that cannot perish, an inheritance that is presently kept safe in heaven for you. Through his faithfulness, you are guarded by God's power so that you can receive the salvation he is ready to reveal to you in the last time. You now rejoice in this hope. And even if it's necessary for you to be distressed for a short time by various trials, this is necessary that your faith may be found genuine. Your faith is more valuable than gold, which will be destroyed, even though it is itself tested by fire. Your genuine faith will result in praise, glory, and honor for you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you've never seen him, you love him. Even though you don't see him now, you trust him and so rejoice with a glorious joy that is too much for words. You are receiving the goal of your faith, your salvation. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, show us the way. Teach us your paths. Guide us in your truth and teach us. For you are God, our Savior, and our hope is in you all day long. Amen. In November of 1974, two young cavers, Gary Tenen and Randy Tufts, were exploring the limestone hills at the base of the Whetstone Mountains, just right southeast here of Tucson. And in the bottom of a sinkhole that they found was a narrow crack leading into the hillside. This warm, moist air flowed out, which caused them to think that there may be a cave there. And so the crack they had to crawl through was the size of a wire hanger. And I'm not sure, but somebody took my wire hanger that I had sitting here. Does anybody know what happened to my wire hanger? That is so odd. Okay. Imagine a wire hanger. If anybody sees my hanger, would you let me know? So they crawled through the size of the inside of a wire hanger to get into this dark place. Everything was dark except where their headlamps could shine. And after several hours of this crawling, they entered into a most amazing discovery, one of which is a 58-foot-high Kublai Khan, the tallest and most massive column in Arizona. Today, this cave system is called Karchner Caverns. A couple weeks ago, Jack and I and a couple friends went there for the first time. And I've been in a big cave before in Kentucky growing up at Mammoth Cave. And I remember feeling like an explorer who just discovered a new underground world. And some of those feelings came flooding back as we entered into the caverns through the sealed doors, and I suddenly felt the air change. I had to readjust my breathing a little bit because of the humidity, and the air seemed a little thin. I had to keep my eyes open and just continue to look around so that they could adjust to the darkness. It was really a new way of looking at things. I had to get used to it. I had to listen very closely to our guide. See, this was a whole new environment for me. But our guide knew exactly where the right paths were to take us to the places where we could see the most beautiful and extraordinary things. From up top, it looked like just another piece of desert. A little cactus, a little sand, but our guide knew what was beneath. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, things not seen. I knew I had my illustration for this sermon. So our guide also knew exactly when to turn on a light in a certain area that would shine on the very thing that we were brought there to see in that particular moment. You see, this experience at the caverns has given me so much to reflect on since I've been there as far as the connection with Jesus and living a life in the power of hope. Because the life of faith is a lot like looking at a piece of desert that looks like nothing but a bunch of cactus and sand, and not knowing that in the depths of it, well, is something beyond our imaginations. Our challenge is, in all that we experience, is to hang on to that hope and allow God to take us there. What would happen if we could put as much hope into what God has promised us and exploring that with as much courage as Gary Tenen and Randy Tufts had to, as they squeezed through the size of a coat hanger? Their hope was off the charts, wasn't it? It's as if they were sure of what they hoped for and certain of what they did not see. What if in our most difficult times, God was inviting us to be like cavers? Want to be a caver with me? What if we were willing to explore our faith below the surface where hope lies? Keep on exploring, knowing there was more than meets the eye. See, it's a new and it's an odd place to live because we're used to seeing and living by what we see instead of what we hope for. And God says it the exact opposite. So this is the all I need to know I learned about hope at Karchner Caverns. We need a guide. We need to learn to listen to our guide. We need to follow the guide's instructions. We need to trust our guide. We need to know that our guide has our good in mind. Our God wants to reveal to us what is beautiful, what is possible, things that we have not yet seen or known. Because maybe there's a Kubla Khan right around the corner. Our challenge is we can't see it by setting our eyes on what we can see. We have to search for it. We have to crawl through the hangar looking for the hope that has been set before us. Our hope in things that we cannot yet see until Jesus wants to guide us there. Until he wants to shine a light on that certain path. But the promise is he wants to show us glorious and wonderful things so that we might have hope to the end. But we have to be careful not to be like these other people. You heard the term spelunkers? No? Spelunkers are those who explore caves as a hobby. Real cavers have bumper stickers that say, "I rescued a spelunker." So you got the idea now? Because usually spelunkers are not wearing the right clothing, they don't have the right equipment, and they don't think they need a guide. They already think they know all they need to know, which leads them into serious situations. We can get like this in our faith. We think we already know all we need to know. We already see it all. We need to become more like cavers than spelunkers. You see, at some point in our lives, we will come to the realization that we need a guide. And that's most likely because we were trying to be spelunkers. And we found ourselves needing our caver to rescue us. And we need healing. And Jesus has said, "I've done all that. I'm trying to show you exactly what I have done." The scriptures call this our inheritance. And that our hope, our goal in our faith is the receiving of that inheritance. It is the hope of our salvation. Everything else we see is fleeting. Everything else will end. We have to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher and perfecter of our faith. See, if we're honest enough, though, most of the time, especially after reading the headlines and suffering all the things that we do as humans, we become hope deprived. The scriptures tell us that hope deferred causes the heart to grow sick, and many of us grow sick in our hearts, and we wait for our hope to be fulfilled. Maybe that's where you are today. Maybe you're tired of hoping. Maybe you've been disappointed so many times that you're just kind of done with the whole hope thing. You've taken your sign off of the wall that says hope. You've lowered your expectations. Well, I wonder if I might invite you down into the cave for a little while, maybe to listen to your guide. He says, "What if I told you today that I just received a letter saying that you are the recipient of an inheritance, and this inheritance is a gift? There's nothing you did for it. You didn't work for it. and that this inheritance will never run out. What if I told you that? And that your benefactor hopes that you'll spend it every day. You have all that you need. My family has a hometown hardware business back in Indiana. We still have it. A few years ago, when my dad passed, we all had to go to the lawyer's office as they read the will. And what happened at that table, we will never forget. Because one of Dad's managers that were there for years somehow coerced him when he was in the middle of some of his dementia. And he wrote his will with the manager getting half of the business when he died. He stole half of our family business. And we decided not to fight it because it would have cost more than the business. It's not like our inheritance from God. It can't be stolen. It can't be gotten at by a thief. There's more of it than you can access every day than you can possibly imagine, because it's all tied into our salvation. That is the only sure thing. God is not a liar. He will give you what he has promised. We have an inheritance. We need to remember that. So don't let the thief steal your inheritance. Remember that you have a salvation that is safe in heaven. That's what the scripture just said that was read. Doesn't perish. And Paul gives us this best example of hope in Romans chapter 8. Whenever we or someone that we know encounters hopelessness, which can happen in any part of our life, even the most faithful for years, I usually direct them to Romans 8. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is on our side, how sure is that hope? You have an inheritance, a living hope, that is in the resurrected Christ, our living God. This will never end. There will come a time for each of us when a person or a situation, we're not going to be able to hold on to our hope. There'll come a time. It's in that place that we may realize for the first time that anything temporal that we try to set our hope on is like sinking sand. You see, there's a difference between an anchor and sand, right? You've got the vision now, right? Like a sinkhole. At some point, we must adjust our expectations. We must go to the source of our true hope. Where are you placing your hope today? Is it temporal? If I just get that job, if I just had that relationship, if I just had more money, where are you placing your hope? Because all of that will shift in your life time to time. Where are you placing your hope? Remember, you have a pure and enduring inheritance that cannot perish, that is kept in heaven for you, because it's based on his faithfulness. So put your hope in Christ. Have optimism for all the rest, right? Put your hope in Christ. Because when Jesus brings hope, he reminds us that we are a new creation. He brings us back to life because we no longer are dead in sin. He reminds us who we are and the future ahead of us, I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. We have fellowship with the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Trinity Sunday. Bet you didn't know that. A lot of people don't know that. What a celebration to know that because of our connection with Jesus Christ, we have all three. Right? That is to be celebrated. Oh, I've got to go through this. No, I know I'm running out of time. I know it. Hope is necessary for our well-being. We have to set our hope on the everlasting love of Christ Himself. Peter stated that the only goal that cannot be crushed by this fallen world is the living hope we have in Jesus. Marty Nystrom penned the well-known modern hymn, As the Deer. Marty admits that the song, As the Deer, he wrote in 1981, came to him at a time where he had very little hope. Actually, the words came to him at a spiritually low time. He wasn't chasing God, he was chasing a girl. And this girl dumped him and devastated his heart. He was in a low time. Amazingly, he took a friend's advice to take a time of fasting to draw himself back to God. And he sat at the piano and he read the words of Psalm 42. My soul is dry and thirsts for you, true God. As a deer thirsts for water, I long for the true God who lives. Where can I stand before him and feel his comfort? Right now, I'm overwhelmed by sorrow and pain. I can't stop feasting on my tears. People crowd around me and say, where is your true God whom you claim saved you? And with a broken heart, I remember times before when I was with your people. Those were better days. I used to lead them happily into true God's house, singing with joy, shouting thanksgiving with abandon, joining the congregation in the celebration. Oh, why am I so overwrought? Why am I so disturbed? Why can't I just hope in God? Despite all my emotions, I will believe and praise the one who saves me and is my life. And then he wrote the song. The psalm that helped Marty vocalize his journey to draw closer to God and again put his hope in his unfailing love is a lesson for us as believers. That when we find ourselves in those places where we have lost hope with everything we have, we draw close to the living word and soak in the living truth. And who knows, it may be from that very pit where we may find ourselves most effectively used by God. Let's think about that as we sing, As the Deer.